translation. After asking various questions and becoming established in the transcendental loving service of Lord Krishna, Vidura retired from putting questions to Maitreya Muni. Purport. Vidura retired from putting questions before Maitreya Muni when he was convinced by Maitreya Rishi that the sum and bonum of life is to be finally situated in transcendental loving service of Lord Shri Krishna, who is Govinda, one who is satisfying his devotees in all respects. The conditioned soul, the living being in the material existence, seeks happiness by employing his senses in the modes of materialism, but that cannot give him satisfaction. He then searches after the supreme truth by empirical, philosophical, speculative method and intellectual feats. But if he does not find the ultimate goal, he again goes down to material activities and engages himself in various philanthropical and altruistic work, which all fail to give him satisfaction. So neither fruitive activities nor dry philosophical speculation can give one satisfaction, because by nature a living being is eternal servitor of the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, and all the Vedic literatures give him direction towards the ultimate end. The Bhagavad Gita 15:15 confirms this statement. Like Vidura, an inquisitive conditioned soul must approach a bona fide spiritual master like Maitreya, and by intelligent inquiries must try to know everything about karma, fruitive activities, jnana, philosophical research for the supreme truth, and yoga, the linking process of spiritual realization. One is not seriously inclined to put questions before a spiritual master need not accommodate a show bottle spiritual master, or nor should a person who may be a spiritual master for others pose to be if he is unable to engage his disciple ultimately in transcendental loving service of Lord Shri Krishna. Vidura was successful in approaching such a spiritual master like Maitreya, and he got the ultimate goal of life, bhakti, onto Govinda. Thus, there was nothing to be known further about spiritual progress. After asking various questions and becoming established in transcendental loving service of Lord Krishna, Vidura retired from putting questions to Maitreya Muni. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militan Jaina Tasmashi Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pasyachyade Satarine Jashi Tanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I seek the blessings of all the devotees here. I can say a few words. Like I said, I'm not quite prepared. Hopefully, with the shallow realizations I have, I can maybe shed a little bit of light on this wonderful purport. So I ask for your blessings. Vanchakalpa Tribhishya Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Patito Na Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So there's a few very, very nice points Srila Prabhupada points out over here that we can go through slowly. But when we read this verse, what's the first verse that comes in our mind from the Bhagavad Gita? Yes, tadvidhi pranipatena pariparshena. That someone who is serious about spiritual life, then he must inquire and find a spiritual master. Now, the key question over here is what? With the spiritual master? It has to be bona fide spiritual master. When Lord Chaitanya wanted to take initiation from Ishwarapuri, Ishwarapuri had a dream the night before that Lord Chaitanya will appear next day to him and ask for initiation. And in the dream, it was revealed to Ishwarapuri that Nimai Vishwamba, Lord Chaitanya, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when Lord Chaitanya approached Ishwarapuri for initiation, Ishwarapuri, having already realized that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, started laughing. You want to take initiation from me? You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are fully independent. You don't need a spiritual master. So then Lord Chaitanya pointed out two important points to Ishwarapuri. And what was these two important points? Does anyone know what these two important points that Lord Chaitanya pointed out to Ishwarapuri? Anyone knows? One point that Lord Chaitanya said was that anyone who is on the path of Bhakti Marg, anyone who is serious, they must take shelter of a spiritual master. This was the first instruction that Lord Chaitanya wanted for everyone who is on the path of spiritual life, that one must take a spiritual master if one is serious in obtaining Krishna consciousness. So that was the first point that Lord Chaitanya said to Ishwarapuri. And the second point was what? We've already mentioned it. We have to find a bona fide spiritual master. And because Ishwarapuri was connected to the Madhava Sampradaya, which is a bona fide Sampradaya, there was four Sampradayas. So therefore Lord Chaitanya said, when we seek spiritual master, he has to be linked to a bona fide Sampradaya. So when one is in a position to find a bona fide spiritual master, then it is very important that he makes submissive inquiries to the spiritual master. Once Srila Prabhupada was giving class, then after class, Prabhupada asked, are there any questions? And there was dead silence like this. Then Prabhupada said, it is the duty of a disciple to scrutinize his spiritual master and ask questions. It's actually a two-way relationship. Often we think that the spiritual master is giving instruction. But actually in spiritual life, it's a two-way flow. One is giving, one is receiving, and one has to understand properly, as Maitreya here is asking Vidura is asking many, many questions to Maitreya. So Vidura has come to a certain stage in his life. He has been living in the palace of Hastinapur, and now he has come to a stage in his life that he is retiring and he wants to devote more of his life for spiritual activities. And here Prabhupada explains that in material world, we're always trying to find some kind of sukhi, some kind of happiness. So there's a saying, Money makes the world go round, the world go round. So we think that money is related to happiness. So we try to seek as much happiness in life. And the general goal in the materialistic way of life is to try and accumulate madly. So much wealth I have today. So much more I will accumulate. And if anyone comes my way, I will get rid of them. So that is a materialistic point of view, that he wants to just seek happiness, trying to satisfy his senses. But as we all know, no matter how much we indulge in sense gratification, no matter how much we try and find happiness in material acquisition, it all turns to disappointment. It all turns to suffering. There's that verse again in the Bhagavad Gita. Govind, was it Ramatesh? Beginning, it's pleasure at the beginning, and then afterwards. Yeah. Anyway, I think we know that verse. Well, we don't apparently. where Krishna says that anything in the material world, at the beginning is Rama. It's pleasure. Whatever we seek in the material world, when we engage with our senses, there's a certain sense of pleasure that comes along with it. But then very, very quickly, that same pleasure that we get quickly turns into dukkh. It has a beginning, it has a middle, and ultimately it has an end. They got it. Yeah. So, Boga, we're trying to enjoy. That's the propensity of the living entity. Once Srila Prabhupada was with his disciples, and he asked his disciples, what is the nature of the soul? And then the disciples were replying, it's eternal, it's a servant of Krishna, it cannot be killed. So all these different things were given to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, no, the nature of the soul is to enjoy. Because Krishna wants to enjoy. He's the supreme enjoyer, isn't it? So, and because we are part and parcel of Krishna, we also have that quality within us, that we also want to enjoy. But the problem with us is what? We want to enjoy without God. We want to enjoy without Krishna. There's a saying, we want the kingdom of God without God. Isn't it? Like I remember when I was living at home, the Jehovah Witness, they would come and then they would give their watchtower, and they would had a little kind of a idea of what heaven looked like. So that was in the front page, and in the front page everyone seemed very happy. The kid had his hand in the tiger's mouth, no problem. Old granny didn't need any glasses. She had 20/20 vision. And everyone was very, very happy. Everyone was smiling. There was plenty of food there. Nice gardens, nice flowers. This was the idea of heaven. But what was missing in this picture? God. Yeah. There was no God in this scenario. Isn't it? But whenever we look at pictures of the spiritual world, Krishna's there with the coward boys, Krishna's there with the gopis, Krishna's there with the devotees, because Krishna is the central focal point in the spiritual world. And those who are on the path of bhakti, then that is also our goal. And that is the duty of the spiritual master, that he directs the soul towards Govinda. So it's very, very interesting this word Govinda is used. Why do you think this word is interesting, Govinda is used? Sorry to try and put you on the spot. Just trying to keep you awake. Anyone know why this word Govinda is used? Prabhuji? Yes. And the key word over here is the senses, the go. So relating back again over here, that we all want to try and satisfy our senses. So this Govinda name of Krishna is appropriately used here, that when we try to satisfy our senses, we'll become baffled. But if we try to satisfy the senses of Govinda, Krishna, then we'll become happy. Isn't it? There's a very, very simple, very, very nice example that is given, that when you have a plant, and then when you try to water the trunk, the leaves, the flower, any nourishment goes to the plant. So another name for Krishna is Bija, seed. So by serving the seed or watering the plant roots, then all nourishment automatically goes to the whole plant. So just by satisfying Govinda Krishna, then automatically we become happy. Everyone in the universe is happy. We all know that very, very nice pastime when the Pandavas, when they were in exile, the Pandavas had a very, very special magical pot. This was given by Agni Dev, and we know that Bhima was a big eater. So it was very, very hard to satisfy Bhima. He ate a lot. So Agni Dev, seeing the situation in the forest, it's not always possible to cook a lot, gave this pot. And he said that this pot will supply unlimited amount of food that you can eat, and Bhima can eat as much as he likes. But there was one clause to it. What was the clause? After Draupadi eats, then khatam ho gaya. After that, it won't produce anymore. So everyone ate, and then after everyone was satisfied, then Draupadi ate, and then no more from the pot. At the same time, Duryodhana, he sent a spy to try and find some fault in the Pandavas. And the spy was watching, and he saw this magical pot, noticed that after Draupadi ate, then there would be no more food after that. At the same time, Duryodhana was engaged in hosting Durvasa Muni and his 10,000 disciples. And as you know, Durvasa Muni is not an easy sage to please. Actually, I've noticed sages are not always easy to please. They always seem to curse left, right, and center. So they're always throwing out curses. So you have to be very, very careful when you are hosting a sage. So, but Duryodhana looked after Durvasa Muni so well. Durvasa Muni said, "Is there anything I can do for you? Do you want anything?" So Duryodhana was very cunning. He said, "Well, you know what? I feel really bad for my cousins. They're in exile. How about going and visiting them and giving them your darshan? And yeah, go at this time because they get busy with his householder life. So don't disturb them at this particular time." He knew what time Draupadi had, and he specifically asked Durvasa Muni to go at this point, so that when Durvasa Muni comes, Radha Sangha, when 10,000 people come to your house, what are you going to do? You're going to go on panic mode, isn't it? And you know how much these are bhaktas, they can eat, man. No matter how much you cook for them, they can woof down. That example was given the other day in class when there was a competition between the cooks and the devotees. So the devotees, they can really knock back a feast. So it was well known that if you don't please Durvasa Muni, he would lash out at you and curse you. So then Durvasa Muni, he arrived, and then Yudhishthira Maharaj saw him coming, and then he welcomed him. And of course Yudhishthira Maharaj welcomed very nicely. He said, please come, we will look after your needs, and we will feed you. And then as soon as Yudhishthira Maharaj said this, then all the Pandavas who were there, the jaw dropped literally to the ground, and particularly Draupadi. When you've got nothing in the kitchen, when there's nothing in your fridge, and a bunch of Sankirtan devotees come to your house, you're going to think, oh my God, you know, how am I going to feed Antaranga and his bunch of hungry devotees? It's going to be hard, not easy. So then Yudhishthira Maharaj said, God, take your bath, take your oblations, and then come back. We'll have a nice big feast ready for you. And the feast I'm talking about is like the ones in the 70s and 80s. Those were proper feasts. Then, of course, Draupadi was a little upset, saying, what have you done? Sometimes happens, the husband says, yeah, everyone just come, you know. And the wife says, why you've invited everyone, you know. But then he says, oh, we should just depend on Krishna, don't worry. So then Draupadi was in anxiety. Then she started praying to Krishna. And then within a moment, Smaranam, that's how powerful Smaranam is. If you're pure, if you just think of Krishna, then Krishna will appear. There's also another side story when one Lakshman Sena wanted to see Krishna. But again, I'm deviating here. He remembered Krishna, and Krishna appeared and to save Bhima, and then he wanted to have darshan of Krishna. So Smaranam, then immediately Krishna appeared, and then Krishna first thing said to Draupadi. What was the first thing Krishna said to Draupadi? I'm starving. I'm hungry. I was just about to be fed by Rukmini, and then you called me over here. I'm hungry. Can you feed me? And Draupadi said, ah, Bapare, Baba. You know, I got 10,000 people over here want to be fed. You're getting on my case. You want to eat. I'm going to feed you. The pot zilch doesn't have anything else to feed here. So she's in a dilemma. Oh my God, 10,000 people. Durvasa's going to get well upset. And now you want something to eat? What to do? What to do in this situation? So then Krishna said, well, let me have a look in that pot of yours. Is there anything in there? And Draupadi said, there's nothing. I've already ate. It's all finished. So I'll bring the pot over. Then she brought the pot over. And then Krishna saw a small, tiny morsel in the corner. Krishna took that. He ate it, and then he was satisfied. It's a small little morsel. You don't need to eat a lot. I know yesterday everyone knocked back and there are lots of paneer. So, yeah, just a little morsel sometimes is enough to satisfy us. We don't need to kind of eat a lot. So Krishna set the example just by eating a little prasadam and respecting it as prasadam, he was satisfied. Then he told Bhima, you go and tell Durvasa Muni, all the prasadam is ready. So when Bhima went to the river to invite Durvasa Muni and his 10,000 disciples, what did the disciples feel and Durvasa Muni felt like? Satisfied, you know. The stomachs were completely full. They saw Bhima coming. You know, when you've had so much, you can't even fit another pea in your stomach. Who's been in that situation? So that's how the sages felt. They couldn't fit another pea in their stomach. And here was Bhima coming down. And also Bhima is known for, you know, quite getting upset easily. So they didn't want the wrath of Bhima as well. So then Durvasa Muni told his disciple, look, just say to Bhima, we got another engagement, we're off. And then Durvasa Muni with his 10,000 disciples went. Then the disciple explained, well, actually, we had to go, sorry, we have to decline the prasadam. And in this way, the point is that if we satisfy Krishna with love and devotion, then everyone becomes happy. Sishirada Gokulananda ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki. So, back to the purport over here. So then, in life, we have to try and make some inquiries about spiritual life, like Vidura has. And sometimes Prabhupada is explaining, when we make certain inquiries, we're going to dry speculation. We try and find out through empiric way of studying, and ultimately that doesn't satisfy. Another example Prabhupada gives is, there's a saying in India, Manava Seva is Madhava Seva, which translates into? Yeah, so this is saying that if you serve mankind, then automatically you serve Govinda or Madhava. But actually Prabhupada is explaining that's not the case. And we see from this story here, actually we have to serve Madhava first, and then the humans can be happy. So then ultimately in life, when we try to learn through mental speculation, through trying to do some philanthropic work, or trying to go in different ways, then if we come to our senses, then we'll come, if we're fortunate, meet a bona fide spiritual master. And to meet a bona fide spiritual master is not easy. So it's explained, an example is given. So imagine there's an ocean. And in the ocean, there's a plank floating. And in the plank, there's a hole inside there. And in the ocean, there's loads and loads of turtles. And the chance of meeting a bona fide spiritual master is that plank is floating, there's a turtle somewhere in the ocean, and the turtle shows his head and pops his head in the hole in the plank. Anyone ever seen this? I've been to Australia. I was swimming there with tons and tons of turtles over there. I didn't see that situation, even though there were so many turtles. So that's how rare it is to meet a bona fide spiritual master. If you go to India, so many spiritual masters. Every day there's a new spiritual master. So many people announce themselves as spiritual master. They all want some personal gain or something. But the real spiritual master, he is not interested in himself. He is trying to elevate the soul towards Krishna. And sometimes it even happens that someone comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master, and even then, one misses that golden opportunity. I was just reading this wonderful book, Chasing Rhinos, the second one. And in there, Shamashunda was explaining there was one devotee, and he was Prabhupada's personal servant. He was cooking for Prabhupada. He was massaging Prabhupada. And he was with Prabhupada 24 hours a day. It's something we would all dream about. We would love to be in the presence, physical presence of Srila Prabhupada. So this devotee had this opportunity. And for 5 months, he traveled all over India. He traveled to Russia. I always thought Prabhupada traveled just with Shyamasunda, but this other devotee also traveled with Prabhupada. But then after being with Prabhupada for 5 months, he started to get philosophical problems. He couldn't accept what Prabhupada was saying. And he began to challenge some of Prabhupada's viewpoints. And sometimes because we are so conditioned in our ways, we're so conditioned in our thoughts because the way we've been brought up, because of society, sometimes the path of bhakti directly challenges our thought. And because it challenges, it's not always easy to accept the Vedic point of view. And he had this problem. And then Prabhupada tried very, very hard to try and help him, convince him. But he left. Another devotee was saying that he took his bead bag and he went to Prabhupada's room and he put his bead bag in front of Prabhupada's desk and he says, "I cannot do this anymore." And then Prabhupada said, "Why not?" He said, "It's too difficult. I'm a Westerner. I cannot follow all this don't. I'm just do, whatever I want to do, I just do it. This don't is too much for me." And then he started walking away. And Prabhupada stood and blocked his way into going into the door. And Prabhupada looked at him. And he said, "Please, I implore you, give me this one life. Give me this one life." And this devotee, he said that he saw a tear coming out of Prabhupada's eyes. And Prabhupada was so concerned about this devotee that he said, "Please, just give me one life and then I will take you back to Krishna." And the devotee felt so ashamed. His spiritual master was asking him, begging him. He just looked down and he just walked away. He just walked away. Of course, we get to hear this pastime. Why? Because he went out to enjoy the material world, as explained over here. He tried to find some kind of satisfaction, but this devotee explained, no matter how hard he tried, he just couldn't enjoy his senses. He became frustrated. And then he came back again to Krishna consciousness. And he became a born-again Hare Krishna. And then he took more seriously. And of course he regretted what took place between him and his spiritual master. But now he felt he was in a more stronger position. So just coming in contact or receiving initiation from a bona fide spiritual master doesn't necessarily guarantee you on the path of bhakti. The key to that first verse is what? What is the key to that first verse from Bhagavad Gita? What would you say the key when approaching a spiritual master? Inquire. Submissive. We have to be submissive. The nature of us is we know it all. There was a sign in the shop and it's saying full set of encyclopedia for sale. Reason is, my teenager knows everything. We're in this world, we think we know everything. So therefore, we are more in a challenging mode. Prabhupada was in Scotland, and Prabhupada was explaining that Krishna is God. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this man stood up and he says, "You are saying Krishna is God. But I say, I am God." And Prabhupada say, "You are not God, you are a dog." And then everyone started clapping. So that is not the right mood in approaching the spiritual master. Here, as we see Vidura, he was submissively inquiring for Maitreya. And this humbleness, we know it's a word that stirred around a lot in class, in our discussion, in the scriptures. But what does it mean to be humble? Got a few moments? Any ideas? What does it mean to be humble? Parama, our local pundit. Come on. What does it mean to be humble?
I was thinking just putting your hands together and kind of walking around with your head down.
Okay, fine.
At least that's the beginning. At least that's the beginning.
Okay, thank you very much. Radha Sangha.
It says that the gopis, when they're... It's a part of prema. It's non-different. Dainya or something? I don't remember the name. And they actually have this feeling of... wretchedness, it actually said in there. I couldn't relate to it, but I found it really fascinating that it is a part of the prema, that feeling of that humility and feeling low. Hmm. And they're feeling it all the time, and they're completely in ecstasy. But that's their level.
Isn't it so strange to feel happy? We have to be low. Generally, in the material world, to be on the top, I'm the king of the castle, you're a dirty rascal. That's what makes us kind of like, you know, feel good. But actually in spiritual, when we're low, that's when we actually feel the happiest, best situation. Mataji?
As I understand to be humble is to be loyal for Guru, Sadhu and Shastras, to follow and not deviate, whatever happens.
So sometimes we wonder, why is it that so many disciples of Prabhupada left? But if you finally study it, because they didn't follow, like Mataji says, slowly, a deviation. When you have a crack on the plane, and when it takes flight, that crack, even though insignificant, it just opens up. Because spiritual life is like a fast track. And then as we have this crack, it seems insignificant, but when you take flight, that crack's going to rip open.
Radhanath Maharaj says, to be humble is not to think less of yourself, it's to think about yourself less.
Say that again, please.
It's not to think less of yourself, it's to think less about yourself.
Do you all follow that? Thank you. Mataji?
My perspective, humble maybe, is about not thinking of just I all the time. It's about we, mm-hmm. And serving the server of the server. Mm-hmm.
So we'll offer in conclusion, because we'll stop here. So Gopi, Bhatta, Padal, Kamalaya, Dasa, Anu, Dasaha. That's today's class, being submissive, being humble, and in this way, we can be on the path of bhakti. Thank you very much for your time. Hare Krishna. Granta Raha Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.